It's every Red Raider's favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3. Optimum is here. From fast to 100% fiber fast. Get award-winning internet, mobile, and TV. Call 866-9-OPTIMUM or visit optimum.com.
Hi, how are you? Good afternoon. Happy Monday. It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Dr. Mike Gustafson and Clint Scott. I'm Aaron Dickens. We're joining you today until 6 o'clock. We'll have Monday Night Football for you coming up at that time here on Double T 97.3. We'd love to hear your thoughts and comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at Double T 97.3.com. Gus, how you feeling today?
I'm good. How are you, man?
I'm good. Yeah, I have processed what happened on Saturday. I think I've got my thoughts in order. I think I've narrowed down my feelings on the subject. So I'm looking forward to visiting with you and everyone else about them over the course of the next 3 hours or so.
Otherwise, a good week. Otherwise, a good weekend though.
I mean, yeah, it was fine. Mm. I mean, nothing really spectacular.
You don't want to report mowing the yard or anything like that?
No, definitely not. I mean, yeah, I made dinner last night. Nothing amazing there. Just same old, Tech lost the football game. And that was really the biggest.
And it wrecked your weekend.
I didn't wreck it, but certainly.
Yeah, put a damper on it.
You know, a Tech football game has the most gravity, really, of any other event that occurs on any given weekend.
Yep, because I'll be mowing my yard again next week or in 2 weeks. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
Can't get that game back.
No, and you wish that you could because, and that's a great segue, because you did so much, Texas Tech did so much to hurt themselves in that game. And not even kind of counting the kind of more run-of-the-mill mistakes that happen in any given game, the drops, missed tackles here and there. You know, you cannot muff a punt on the road.
No, that's right.
Just, I mean, period. You just cannot.
Those are the kind of things that also, I mean, beyond all the football reasons, those are the kind of things that create juice in the stands. That's already out to get you.
Oh yeah, they're out for blood. You're just throwing meat to the wolves.
Throwing them some meat. Yeah. I'll be honest. I thought that he covered the punt and it got pulled away from him.
I think he lost under the pile.
There's no doubt in the pile. But I also thought you could see him pull it in. Like everybody's knees are on the ground, but they let that scrum play out enough that it didn't go our way. And D played well enough. Again, we got about 14 hours this week to cover this.
Sure.
Well, actually, we'll look forward to Texas by sometime tomorrow.
Yeah. I mean, I recall about a decade ago, people would give Austin Zuzalek all kinds of hell when he took over that punt return job because he wasn't Eric Morris or Danny Amendola or Wes Welker.
Yeah.
You know, and while I don't think he ever busted off a touchdown return and the long gainers, that number might be very few. I don't recall him muffing any of them.
Yeah.
And that's just one of those deals where, like, you kind of take it for granted until something like that happens. And you just can't. I mean, it's not why you lost the game, but it certainly helped. And obviously, Donovan Smith can't throw a pick six on the road against a top 15 team. You just can't turn it over as much as you did. It was exactly what I feared in that. And I think we kind of talked around this a little bit last week. You didn't want to leave that game that day, that evening, feeling like you did just as much to beat yourself as they did to beat you.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what happened. You know, the pick six, the muff punt, you know, the turnovers in general. And the unfortunate part is that it overshadows a phenomenal performance by the defense.
Yep.
You know, they're easily the most consistent part of your football team right now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. No argument for me there. A real highlight of the weekend, especially once you throw in the, you throw in a pick six, you throw in the muff punt short field that was held to a three, which was a win at that point, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, we've got a lot of time for that. The any NFL for you yesterday? Any Anything kind monumental?
Of followed it. I didn't have. I had it on. I just didn't like sit down and dedicate a whole bunch of time to it.
Yeah, I was kind of in and out on some baseball games. I actually went up and watched the Red Raiders scrimmage twice this weekend in baseball. First weekend of inter squads, and so those are first weekend's a little bit difficult just because it's like a 1-1 count. You know, all the pitching's, you get about four hitters in, and we call it banging innings. But you know, if a guy walks the bases loaded, he's not gonna pitch out of the deal. They just scratch the inning because you don't want some dude throwing 40 pitches on the first weekend. And so, you know, it'll be there's way too early to see anything, but this will definitely be a faster ball club. Doesn't mean it'll be better, I don't know, but those two speed guys, Harrelson and Curtis, those guys can run. And so
do you think that they will they actually use that,
change their personality a little bit?
Because I feel like a lot of times, and this goes for all sports, you typically see coaches talk a big game during the off season. Right, like, hey, we're going to be really aggressive, sure. Or, you know, we're going to play all three quarterbacks in every game. And to McGuire's credit, so far that's been true, at least in terms of healthy quarterbacks. And then once you know,
and it doesn't
rubber meets the road, and the games start counting, it's like, oh, let's go back to kind of what we've been doing.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting to follow.
Yeah, it will be interesting. Part of the deal there would be a challenge that those two with those two young speed outfielders is. A young shortstop looks like he can run too, freshman. But it looks like just a speedier group than last year's deal, where two of the mainstays were nursing hamstrings all year. And so, but yeah, I think these two guys have elite speed. And so I would be surprised if there's not a little bit more of a green light with those two than what we've had around here with a lot of guys in the past. But yeah, I don't think it's going to get remade. You're playing in a very offensive ballpark over here, and so it's going to be, you know, you're still going to try to hit the ball 400 feet out onto the street out there.
We'd love to give your thoughts and comments, or get them rather, on the H Flooring Center chat line at TT973.com. You can also access that on the TT973 mobile app presented by Happy State Bank. We already have a lot of texts in about what happened Saturday. We will get to as many of those throughout the day as we can. We get this on the chat line. Mr. Smith does not do pressure well. That's from Thomas the Train. Yeah, and I wish that I was smarter and could tell you how much of that was on Smith and how much of that was on the O-line. I think probably a little bit of both. He needs to make quicker decisions, but I don't know that you can really rush that. I think that just comes with experience.
Right.
And he doesn't have that. And you can't microwave it. And the fact that you're so weak up front, you know, kind of exacerbates the issue.
And my assumption is by pressure, not meaning just like pressure of the moment, but rather literal pressure.
Yeah,
like
I assume
five guys. Yeah, that's what I interpreted it too. Because I was going to say he's handled pressure before. He started a bowl game and played pretty well. So, but I think the context of that is exactly the way you see it. That it's hard to simulate that in walkthroughs, right? I mean, you can work on it in walkthroughs, but
I mean the weight of the moment pressure didn't seem to give him too many problems last week, right, against Houston. I think that's what I'm worried the least about with Donovan Smith. 100%. The juice is next.
Podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from TT973.
Hey there, it's the juice on TT973 and TT973.com, brought to you by our good friends at Specs Wine, Spirits, and Finer Foods. Two convenient locations in Lubbock, 4th Street and the West Loop, behind the Whataburger, and also Slide Road and 69th Street. Texas Tech offered an update on junior linebacker Bryce Ramirez, who was injured Saturday during the Red Raiders game against NC State. He had surgery, two surgeries, I guess, and is now on the path to recovery. He remained in Raleigh overnight as a result of that lower leg fracture.
Yeah, Coach McGuire hoping he can be back in Lubbock by maybe Wednesday or so.
Yeah, quite a gruesome injury.
Yeah, no doubt. Joe Theismann.
Big 12 is finalizing a deal to hire Scott Draper of the American Athletic Conference as the league's new vice president in charge of football. He spent the last 8 years running the football side of things for the AAC, where he served as the primary contact for the league's coach and administrators. His job at the AAC included everything from scheduling to officiating to operations, bowl relationships, and the conference championship game. He'll take over for Ed Stewart, who left the Big 12 for a job at USC after he was passed over for the commissioner's job there in the Big 12. The Juice, brought to you by our friends at Specs Wine Spirits and Finer Foods.
What did you say the guy's name is that's coming
to
the Big
12? Scott
Draper. Okay. I thought for just a second that you said Steve, and I thought, no way.
Some thoughts rolling in on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Somebody says this: another season of scraping for six wins, probably not going to happen. I mean, I think that we knew this going in, right?
I mean,
this
Vegas said 5.5, so it's not like we were all running around buying Cotton Bowl tickets.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you went into this season realistically thinking that, hey, they're going to peel off 8 or 9 wins, God bless you.
Yeah.
I don't think that you were in line with most of the rest of us.
Right.
It won't be easy. It may not happen. We'll see. But I think that if you look around college football right now, there aren't just a whole bunch of teams that feel great about their first three games, right? I mean, Texas surely doesn't. You know, A&M definitely doesn't. You know, most of the Pac-12 programs don't.
Nebraska and
Purdue,
Northwestern don't.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. So,
mercy.
I mean, you're not really alone here in that you're 2-1. And, you know, you lost on the road to a top 15 team by two possessions. It's not nearly as bad as you might think. This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line from Thomas. Bright side, it's nice to not blame the defense. Yeah, no, there's no question. They have been awesome for you so far. And I don't recall who it was, but somebody asked me before the season started, I think the week before the Murray State game, hey, do you think the Tech defense will be good this year? And I kind of waffled here and there. I said, I think they'll be okay. I wish I could get a do-over on that.
Yeah,
so
sure.
Far, they've been very good for
because
me.
Last year's defense was better than it had been in a while. One may have won a couple games for you, kept you in a few more games, you know, without going game by game down the deal.
Yeah, the defense was better than its final stats indicated because you had a couple of games in there where you just totally
outliers.
Just let go of the
yeah,
rope.
Sure.
And the game against Texas was one of them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
This in the Yates Flooring Center chat line. I heard McGuire mention a few things in the press conference that I have questions about. First of all, what did Cumbie do that is everyone singing his praises? And then which former Tech coach put something out on social media to get everyone riled up? I don't know about the latter one. I know that the former basketball coach here that's down in Austin has apparently told Steve Sarkisian kind of what to expect in terms of the crowd for whatever that's worth. I don't know if that's what you're talking about. And then two, so long story short, one of the star players, probably the best defensive player for Clemson, Brian Bressee, his younger sister died of brain cancer last week. He missed the game to attend a celebration of life, I believe.
And they were playing Louisiana State.
Right, they were playing
Louisiana Tech.
Right.
Yeah.
It would, you know, Sonny
coached
Cumbie's,
by Sonny Cumbie.
Correct. Yeah. And so Cumbie wore one of their, like, Clemson shirts that they made in honor of his sister, Ella. Ella Strong, I think, was the shirt. And then apparently Cumbie had the whole team and coaching staff write letters to Brian Bressee, kind of consoling him and offering their thoughts and prayers, et cetera, for his loss.
Yeah, and that must have been done. I mean, the way those were, because they were all on the same envelope and they were all handed over to, I mean, he had those things at the post-game press conference.
Right.
Dabo did. And so, the you know, they must have done that on, hey, Friday night in the hotel before you guys go to, this is me interjecting this, I don't know. But I mean, and because Dabo showed up, held up a box and went, and he handed me a letter, Sonny Cumbie did, to, you know, Dabo was saying this. And then this box was from all the players. And Dabo's comments were glowing about it. Like, hey, I didn't know Sonny Cumbie before this, but I'm rooting for this guy now, you know, and he's going to be a success in this. If you're that kind of person, you know, da, 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 da. And so it was really, it was heartwarming in many respects.
And I think better for La Tech is, I mean, they lost, obviously, but they had a pretty respectable showing considering it was Death Valley and Clemson. It was 48-20 final score.
Suddenly that in 2 weeks, I believe, when NC State goes to Clemson, after having seen NC State, that's an intriguing matchup. You know, that with a bunch of 22 and 23-year-olds like they have and a veteran solid club that doesn't beat themselves, that'll be an interesting game.
Yeah, we'll see.
I don't know.
I feel like NC State is exactly who we thought they were.
Yeah, not laden with NFL talent, yeah. But really steady, just not going to beat themselves type roster. There may be an NFL lineman on that offensive side, and I don't know, maybe safety was a pretty good player. I mean, and who am I to be throwing out scout accolades, NFL type stuff? But it's not an NFL. I mean, it's not a. Going and watching Bama and Georgia and all that, but it's a veteran group that seemed pretty unflappable to me.
This in the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Donovan Smith is scared to throw down the seams and in the middle of the field. Yeah, I don't know that you can say that. Unless you are watching like the All-22 film and can kind of tell what coverages they're in, you don't really get a good sense of that with most of the early. Or most of the live TV angles.
Yeah, all you see is kind of the line play and then the backfield.
He did not play well on Saturday, period, point blank. No one is suggesting otherwise. Mm-hmm. He needs to be much, much better than that. And we'll see what he's like on Saturday against Texas. But unfortunately, and this is gross, but, you know, Donovan now joins a lengthy list of Tech quarterbacks that have been just totally de-pantsed by Tony Gibson, you know, and the same goes for Zach Kittley. I mean, for whatever reason, if Tony Gibson just played Tech, he'd be Nick Saban, right? Because, I mean, Pat Mahomes couldn't figure it out. Cliff Kingsbury couldn't figure it out. Zach Kittley couldn't figure it out. Donovan Smith couldn't figure it out. Alan Bowman, the list goes on and on. You know, that guy just, they can't solve it.
Yeah, and the gist of it is, you know, they show that three-man front, and it looks like it's sort of a lighter box, you know, like they don't have a ton of bodies there, and so teams check into the runs, and then the runs aren't there. Yeah, and that's part of the deal, that they do a really good job of disguising stuff. And, I'm with you there, because it's not like, well, you know, Tony Gibson does a good job. He's a respected guy, but it's not like this is the best in the business. He's on to the NFL with all of his
for a reason.
Yeah, he's on to the NFL with all of his innovations. No, he does a solid job, but for whatever reason, it aligns very well with what we do.
Yeah.
It's sort of the antidote.
This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. For being considered one of the best punchers in the country, Austin McNamara had a rough night, 2 shanked punts.
Yep.
I mean, really, just special teams in general. And you could even extend that to all 3 games.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, offense has been up and down. Defense has been very, very solid. I don't really know anything great that the special teams have done in 3 games. To me, they've been a net negative for you.
Yeah, and McGuire said that today. It was one of the first things out of his mouth is our special teams weren't special.
More Tech Talk next.
The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3.
Hey there, it's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Mike Gustafson and Clint Scott. I'm Aaron Dickens. We love to hear your thoughts and comments today on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at Double T 97.3.com. All guests appear via the Benchmark Hotline. Somebody has this question. Is Kansas legit, and should Tech be worried? I mean, I think they're fine. They're good. They're at the very least an average, Big 12 football team. They're definitely better than West Virginia. I think Houston. Maybe we'll look back on this and feel differently in 3 weeks or so. But at this point, I kind of tend to think that Houston overlooked Kansas a little bit.
Which is probably a trap some teams are falling into this early.
Which is why it's very good that you play them late.
Yes, and here. And because I think, and you and I talked about it, there's a lot of painting with the broad brush and look, Kansas, it's just Kansas. They're terrible. Wrong. They've got some playmakers. They're putting up 50 every game. Now, maybe they've done it against, time will tell if they've done it against good people or not. We'll see. But, they're running up and down the field, and Lance Leipold's that's an interesting story there too, and he's a name that's getting thrown around for the Nebraska job. That's way too early too. But if you were to if the guy goes in there and makes them into a 6-win team, they hadn't been past 3-9 since 2009. I think they haven't had a 3-win season since 2009. I think I read that.
That's correct.
Yeah,
They've had 3 3-win seasons, and the other ones have been 2-1 or 0.
Yeah, and that's since like 2009, so it's been a minute. And, and so if he were to take them to 6 wins and then immediately be a candidate at about 7 places, it's a ringing endorsement for the job he's done, right? It'll be a case of what you and I discussed in here last week, that Kansas goes in there and gives him a 27-year extension, because that's just what right. the business does these days.
Oh, we get this and the Yeats. But no, I think they're legit. Yeah. I mean, you should be, at this point moving forward, if you're Texas Tech, every team should worry you, right? And I think that was even going to be the case before this past weekend, or even before last weekend. You can't take anything for granted.
Period. Not in this league, and that's an indication of a decent league. At least in terms, it feels more like a basketball season. This year's football season, in terms of
every week when you get,
every week
we celebrate.
Yes, every week it's brutal.
This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. He's not going to gain experience playing how he has. 85% Smith, 15%. Offensive line. Just curious when we're going to stop blaming youth and inexperience. We've seen a lot of inexperienced quarterbacks fare better. Seems like a cop-out. That being said, what options do we have? Not like we chose Smith to lead the team. Seems a bit obvious why he was originally number two, but not seen enough of number one yet to know if it would actually matter. Well, you can blame whatever you want, my friend. Until he gets a few more starts under his belt, I'm still going to say youth and inexperience, to say nothing of the other pieces around him. I consider Graham Harrell to be the best quarterback that has ever played football for this university. And he stunk. He stunk in more than a few games before that 08 season. So if Graham Harrell can stink in some games, even as a sophomore and junior, then I'm not going to just go crazy over a bad game or a bad couple of games. This in the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Are all fan bases like this, or is Tech's fan base level of whiny bitchery unique? No, every fan base is like this.
It's you
losing it, sucks.
Yeah, it does. And in fact, I would say that ours is pretty light. And we'll this will bubble up again. It may take some years, but having spent some time observing the Alabama deal back in the 90s, again, for those just getting to know me, grew up in Tuscaloosa, kind of a T-shirt fan when I was little, followed that program ever since. And when the internet was just starting up, and that's what I mean. This is pre where we are now. You want to see a group that melts down at just the hint of any discord, and they haven't had any discord in 15 years. But when they, when they go back to being a 10-2, 9-3 type program, get ready when the Sooners join the SEC. I'm not predicting, oh, they'll get their faces kicked in all the time, but there's more than likely going to be two or three losses. Wait and see what that discord is like. I mean, you know, this is on a relative scale, it's a very typical level of volume. Go talk to your friends in Houston, by the way. If you've got any Cougar friends,
well,
go click. I'm not pointing to you, but, you know, just or go click around on their message boards yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, the problem with this fan base, this isn't a criticism, but, like, the problem is you haven't had any kind of really bright spots in football to kind of help people, you know, lift them up.
Yep.
Right? It's been basically almost 10 years of just constantly getting kicked in the no-no square over and over and over again. And so, you know, even when you are on, you know, what I feel is like the upward kind of climb, thanks to what McGuire is doing with recruiting, you know, people don't trust it because they have no reason to trust it. Because, again, it's just been game after game, season after season of just, hey, let me just right there, and we've just taken it over, like, and over and over again.
Like, so, a bunch of Cubs
fans.
Yeah,
I don't.
Sure.
I totally understand it, man. Losing sucks. And it'll get me one thing if you were Houston, right? Because no one cares, right? I mean, like, I don't know what their attendance was like on Saturday. And granted, the weather was not great, but it,
did they have rain or something? Did they?
There was a delay. But people here care. Like, this means a lot to a lot of people. A lot of people in Lubbock, a lot of people in Dallas, across the state. And, of course, it means a lot to the players and the coaches and the administrators, et cetera. You just wish that, and hope, which is kind of the gasoline for all fan bases, you just hope that at some point the results live up to the level of interest and care factor.
And Coach McGuire talked about that care and interest factor. That was one of the things that he talked about all summer long more or less on the chicken fry circuit was, I knew it was good up here. I knew the passion was there, but man, you know.
This in the Yates Flooring Center chat line, I think most counted on Kansas as a win. So aside from being at home, I'm quite uneasy counting them as a W. I could see us finishing below them in the Big 12 easily, which is certainly no bolt. Yeah, no, I mean, it's not. Gone are the days, and hopefully they will return very soon, but gone are the days where Tech can just show up and get a win over a handful of Big 12 teams, right? There was a time when you can do that against Baylor, when you can do that against Kansas.
Iowa State.
You know, Iowa State, certainly. No, not anymore.
Nope. That's to their credit as much as ours. You know, all of those programs have elevated.
This in the Yates Flooring Center chat line. I texted this to the morning drive, never got read. IDK, I don't know if it's a touchy subject, but I'm curious if y'all would address number two, shying away from contact on the goal line. Football is violent. I don't want my sons playing the game because we know so much about CTE. Was that a business decision or a lack of courage? How did y'all see it? Not a guy I'd like to be during a film session. I don't know if this was addressed at all in the press conference today. Talking about Reggie Pearson on the goal line, it was.
Yeah, Chuck said, and this is what I thought it looked like too, he thought that he had stepped out of bounds from the play, and he was trying to not get a late hit call, so it was a misread. I mean, Reggie Pearson's one of your most physical guys that you've had on the defense. It was a crappy play, and you got to be more than aware than that. But essentially, that is what McGuire said today was, and he and Pearson were both unhappy with the play.
Yeah, terrible look. I mean, I don't question Pearson's courage. I think that if he lacked courage, he wouldn't be playing at this point, right? Because he could have just hung it up after he left Wisconsin with the whatever the medical issue was.
And Demetri Moore had just come into that game, and he pulls up on it. And I thought, man, we had two guys there who just sort of gave up on that play. What you see from him is, as he's running out of bounds, he's grabbing at the back of his leg. And Coach McGuire included him in the injury report today as a guy having a hamstring. So I thought, because it was right after the big injury to Ramirez.
More Tech Talk next.
It's every Red Raider's favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3.
Hello there. How are you? Thank you for spending part of your Monday with us. This is Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com alongside Mike Gustafson and Clint Scott. I'm Aaron Dickens. We'd love to hear what you have to say on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at Double T 97.3.com. All guests appear via the benchmark hotline. Somebody says, this Morton looked like someone with skills that could develop. Granted, it was against a prevent defense and an ugly pick. Would you be surprised if he started against Texas? That would be two games played, which would still allow him to redshirt this year. I would be surprised.
He got a play in the Houston game.
You're right.
He was lined up at tight end. It was a trick play, and it was a fourth down play, and they motioned him to the left and then ran sort of that QB lead, and Donovan slipped.
Mm-hmm.
Or self-tackleization or whatever you want to call it, but he got a play in that, so he's appeared in all those games so far. So I don't know that trying to preserve his red shirt would be much of a factor at this point for him.
I agree, and I do think that they want to play them all at the same time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And McGuire talked about that a little bit, I think, today during the press conference. So I don't know that he's in a red shirt this year.
No, I don't believe so.
This in the Yates Flooring Center chat line, I feel like Tech should be worried about any team on any given Saturday.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and I think...
I don't think it's worry. I think it's respect.
Well, I would have told you that three weeks ago. You know, outside of Murray State, I mean, there was no gimme on this game, on this roster.
And I think that's just a pretty good indication of where they are and where the conference is, that there's just no position, and it's exactly what you said. Once he got through Murray State, and even Coach McGuire indicated that in one of his media comments, without being insulting to Murray State, but he was like, yeah, from here on out, and it was prior to the Houston game, you know, from here on out, it's every week, man. The margin's thin.
This in the Yates Flooring Center chat line, looks to me like the first offseason focused on the defense. I think over the next 2 years, the offense and special teams will follow suit. Let's be patient. Raider power. Yeah, I mean, look, you're not great up front, and with Shuck out, you are inexperienced at quarterback, right? That's a crummy combo, right? You've got a pretty good stable of running backs that you can't really fully utilize because of how limited you are in the run game, in the traditional run game. That's frustrating. I don't know that there's any kind of magical fix for that midseason. Special teams-wise, like, hopefully it does get way better. I have not been impressed at all. I mean, McNamara was not good, punting on Saturday. Part of that is, how spoiled he has made us over his career. We have come to expect better than what we got on Saturday. It's not why you lost, but that was a surprise. You missed some kicks this season, which isn't great. Didn't come back to bite you, on Saturday, but still flag that. You muff the punt, can't do it. Just cannot do that at all. And then I also don't like, and this is a critique that I've had throughout now multiple coaching staffs, but I just hate, capital letters hate, trying to return stuff at this point. You don't.
And like, to be fair, Hokuts was on a fair catch. That muff came on a fair catch.
I'm on a separate subject now. Yeah,
you're talking kick returns.
Kick and punt returns. Yeah. I mean, you are more likely, and I think the numbers would back you up here, Tech is more likely to get a flag and get negative yardage as a result of an attempted return than any kind of gain. You returned all those kicks on Saturday. And did you start north of the 25 a single time?
No. And I'm with you there, and especially when it comes to kick return. And there was a time when, when I was in college, late 80s, and we talked about Wayne Walker and Tyrone Thurman. Tyrone Thurman's in the Texas Tech Hall of Fame because of a specific, most notably a punt return, 96 yards that he went back and fielded on the 4 and took it to the house against Texas to beat him here that everyone still talks about. But, there was a time under Coach Dykes in which, Tracy Shaw had a really good career returning punts. But, and once we got past the Welker era, which was, 8 punt returns at that time, I think an NCAA record, there just hasn't been much. So all through the back part of the Leach era and all these years ever since, and you know, I'm with you on that. At what point do you go, at what point, and I don't know that that's something a first-year coach would do, but say, hey, on this kick return deal, if, you know, let's just get the thing at the 25 and let's go play. Because there's not that much plus stuff happening to it, and it's creating more negatives. Again, a new coach may not want to set that sort of mindset, but.
Well, you talked about it today.
Golly.
Talked about how they want to be aggressive and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So they've clearly made their mind up. And I think that's also a tacit acknowledgement that, hey, no, I recognize that it's been a net negative, but we're just going to keep on doing it.
And that was really where I was going with the new coach. The new coach is trying to create mindset in first games, then, you know, an identity and those kind of things, which I understand. I've wondered about this too with just watching NFL games and stuff, like, because they've got the same rule, right? Catch it. Fair catch it, and it goes out to 25. Am I wrong about that?
I
can't remember. But anyway, I may be getting them confused. But the, baseball guy here, if you can't get behind a fly ball and catch it coming forward, you're not going to go throw anybody out. If you're catching a kickoff and you're backpedaling in the end zone, you coming out ain't happening. I mean, you can come out, but there's no action going that direction. It's a total reset and all. Man,
just take the yards.
Yes,
they're giving them to you.
Now, if it's a short kick and I can come up and catch the thing with all of the action going forward, then we got a shot at something here. But like, nothing.
At the same time, like, you've got to make everybody miss, and at the same time, no one can commit a penalty.
And there's the bigger difference. It's how many times you look up and go, okay, let's come back to the 13. And I'm not saying it about this team, but just in general, stupid return penalties.
I would say the best moment on a special team so far through three games has been the kick to tie the game and send it to overtime against Houston. Is the second best moment on special teams not when they roughed Austin McNamara and took that touchdown off the board?
Yeah.
Like that's your second best moment, right, in 12 quarters?
Yeah, I'm probably forgetting a couple of long punts that he had, because there's been a couple. But right now, we're sort of drowning those out. But yeah, I'm with you, and I know placement kicks, being old guy terminology here, are part of special teams. But it's also like you're either making kicks or you're not, and that is part of special teams. But when I talk about covering punts and covering kicks and doing that. That, to me, is the special teams conversation that involves 11 guys.
I agree with you. I'm not going to ever crush a coach, a head coach or a position coach over, hey, this guy's missing kicks.
Because
I don't know that you do a lot of, like, hands-on kicking coaching with, you know, your 10 assistant
coaches. Like making free throws or something.
Exactly, yeah. But what I can, like, critique, and this wasn't an issue on Saturday, is, like, not picking a guy. Like, I did not understand that at all. To, like, go with somebody and then, you know, let them ride and kind of get into a rhythm. This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Last season, Oklahoma State's defense was key for the success. Most games were within 10. Our offense just needs to stop with the turnovers. Yeah, mm-hmm. So far, your defense has been very, very good. It's been very impressive. You need to be able to sustain some more drives. Really, you only had one of those, I feel like, against NC State. But if you can rely on your defense, you'll be in good shape. Because I don't know that there are many teams out there that can just come in here, in Lubbock especially, but even just line up against Tech and just run up and down the field on you. Now, maybe I'm in for a surprise. Hopefully not. But this in the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Smith is going to be fine. Shows flashes, not enough. Harrell sucked for a while, too. Sucked for most of the 06 season as a sophomore. That's from MC.
We talked about that. You and I talked about that last week.
Yeah, I would maybe quibble a little bit with most of 06, but certainly during periods of that season, he was not.
Good. You and I were covering the Missouri Colorado games, sort of the frustration of that series.
I mean, he wasn't
and that's
good
where
against,
that came up.
Wasn't good against TCU that year. That was one of his first few games. Wasn't great early against Oklahoma State. Wasn't great early against Minnesota in the bowl game. This and the Yates Flooring Center chat line. If Texas loses here this weekend, they could fire Sarkisian. They're that flaky. I don't think that happens. I don't think they would fire him.
It'd be fun to watch.
I'll get some popcorn. I'd love to be able to find out.
Yeah, I'll get some popcorn.
More tech talk next.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3.
Hi, how are you? Good afternoon. Happy Monday. Hope you're off to a great start this week. We'd love to hear from you on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at DoubleT973.com. You can also fire off with your thoughts and comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line on the mobile app presented by Happy State Bank. This thought on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. From MC, the NC State defense is going to do that to almost everyone that they play this year. They are super salty, experienced, old, and all of the things Tech's offense isn't. We will be fine, y'all. Yeah, I mean, I do think that NC State is probably one of the better defenses that you will play, but now we are in three games, and I don't know that at any point you have looked to your friend, your neighbor, your compatriot, and gone, oh, run game's really humming. It just hasn't happened yet.
Right.
It didn't happen against Murray State. Didn't happen against Houston. Didn't happen against NC State. You have to be able to run the ball if you want to win football games. You don't have to run it a lot, you know, but you have to be effective doing it. And that hasn't happened yet. And maybe that's an experience thing. Maybe that's a play call thing. Maybe that's a Donovan Smith checking into the right play thing. I'm not pinning that on any one person.
Right.
But I just know it doesn't take a genius to figure out you got to run the ball better.
Well, there was plenty of time the other day that, and they came after Donovan a few times, don't get me wrong, but there was plenty of times that the offensive sequence seemed to go, you know, first and 10, minus two on the first play, now you're second 12 and way behind the sticks, and then they're dropping eight dudes into coverage. And we're not able to run them out of that. Now, I will say this. There was one time probably, I don't remember, that we were in like a third and seven and ran a handoff to Sherodrick, and it was when Donovan went out there and threw a lead block and sprung it. First, you know, on third and eight or something, and so ran it into the take what the defense gives you, and you know, won some blocks and made some plays, but there wasn't enough of that. But really, what we're talking about here, though, is getting guys like, you know, Sir Roderick and Brooks and those guys, and just get, you know, on first and ten and being able to go get 4 or 5 yards and have second and five, and it sounds basic and simple and maybe even boring, but there's a sort of honesty that's created. First of all, it would help an offensive unit just perform better to not be behind the sticks in second and 12 and third and nine all the time. But if the team can just line up and play, I don't want to say that they were in a base, but if they can line up and have three or four dudes in the box and control the running game, they're not going to respond. You know, they can put all of their focus into, all right, see Bradley over there, make sure we got a safety over him all day long. If you're running it, safeties have to start sneaking into the box. That sets up some other things. But, I mean, some of that's just got to happen.
This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Explain the comment of Harrell being the best quarterback at Tech ever. Break it down, please. I mean, did you watch his career? I mean, I'm not trying to be smartass about it, but, like, winningest football quarterback I think you've ever had, made winning plays. I mean, think about all of the winning plays that he made in his career, right? I mean, you have the Insight Bowl. You have the A&M throw in 06 in College Station. You have
The Insight Bowl, which at the time was the biggest comeback in bowl history by any team ever.
Right, the comeback against Virginia in 07. The Nebraska game, the Texas game. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is a freak, right? NFL, awesome, MVP, etc. His college performance does not hold a candle to Graham Harrell's. Sorry. Lots of great highlights, but who are those teams that he was playing for those highlights, you know? This in the chat line. One of the weirdest plays was when a quarterback sneak was called and we needed 3 yards. Yeah, I don't know if that was a check by Donovan or not. I think that could be successful. He's a big quarterback. I don't think that they didn't have just a whole bunch of folks lined up.
It was a four-man front, yeah.
Yeah, so I can understand why that check or that play was called. It just didn't work.
What struck me as odd about it, I think, I think we were an empty. I think it was.
It was, yeah.
It was five wide, and he checked into getting under center. Or that was the, and I think it was kind of a check with me. You know, there was the prairie dog. Everybody looked over to the sidelines, and he barked something and got under center. And then what happened was, you know, just everything on the NC State line, linebackers and everything pinched to the inside and just stuffed the play. I think the actual tackle ended up being made by some dude coming off the edge when the play stacked up. But who am I to judge that decision? But it seemed like, boy, without a back in the backfield, without being able to bring a slot guy like a Nehemiah Martinez or somebody to motion him back into the backfield and get under center, and now they have to respect some sort of an edge game or some sort of an edge run or something. It was just like, what's he going to do? The only time he's gotten under center, maybe all season, is on some sneaks, right?
I kind of feel like, in any kind of third and short situation, the defense is going to be on high alert for any kind of quarterback run, whether that's a design draw to the shotgun, some kind of sneak, scramble, whatever. I don't know that you're going to, like, pull one over on them there. I mean, maybe you can just out-execute them, right? That's definitely possible.
Got to line up and whip
them. I don't know that you're capable of doing that against a defensive front like NC State. And clearly you weren't.
Yeah, and really, I'm less second-guessing the decision on any of that kind of stuff. Those guys know best, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Like I said, later on when they convert a 3rd and 7 by handing it to Sir Roderick and making some plays and, you know, blocking it well and all that, I thought he's under center with nobody else in the backfield. It seems like it makes things really simple. I would love to see, this is probably – you know, I would like to see us do more out from under center. Just, I don't mean just in those situations, and I'm not saying 50-50 either, but do just show just enough out of being under center that some other things could get set up from it.
This in the Yates Flooring Center chat line, do you guys feel like the high from the win over Houston had a negative effect on Saturday? No, I don't. Never even entered my mind.
No, not mine either.
This on the chat line.
It's okay to give the other team credit. I'm not saying they get all the credit, but I don't need 14 reasons to you know, why do we lose? You know, I can talk about a pick six and turnovers and all the stuff that we're talking about, but I don't need to go deep dive back into some emotional set. Oh, you could tell that. Oh, these guys have been reading, guys have been reading their headlines. Come on,
I try to stick with what I know, and when I discuss things that I clearly don't, I try to preface that with some kind of disclaimer. That's why I harp on the kick return stuff, because you don't need to be some football genius to know the numbers just don't work there. You don't need to be, a former coach to know that. Yeah, Drew Hocutt has to catch that punt. You know,
it's just on a fair catch. Yeah.
More tech talk. Next.
The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3.
Hi there, it's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Mike Gustafson and Clint Scott. I'm Aaron Dickens. We're joining you today until 6 o'clock. We'll have Monday Night Football for you coming up at that time. We'd love to hear your thoughts and your comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at Double T 97.3.com. This from Yankee Raider. A little behind listening on the app. I know that it can sometimes get AD a little bit fired up, but every time that y'all play the second Steve from Why Bust Out Laughing, laughing emoji. Okay. Yeah. All right. This on the chat line. This is a great text. If our quarterback has to be a lead blocker to have a successful run game, we're pretty much screwed. That's funny.
Yeah.
A little true. Also funny. This from the chat line. Hey, guys, what's the over-under for first down runs up the middle for negative yardage this week? Every single time it's the new receiver screen. What a pathetic hire Kittley has turned out to be. I mean, I think it's too early for that. I part of me wonders if you give a chef like three hot dogs and a can of pinto beans, it doesn't matter how many Michelin stars they have, right? Options are fairly limited. I feel like in some respects that's what Kittley has with an injured Tyler Shuck and a suspect O-line. We'll see. I'm not down on any, like, I'm not down on anything right now. No. There are some areas that I don't like.
I'm not.
Return game, hello. But I mean, he went on the road,
yeah,
to a top 15 team. It was a fairly respectable showing. You didn't get blown out. You didn't embarrass yourself. And you're back home again this weekend with an opportunity for a gigantic, huge freaking win. You're only about a 4-point dog. I mean, hey, newsflash, McGuire wasn't going to go undefeated. I mean.
Yeah, I'm not comfortable with that. I'm not down.
I know, right? Yeah, breaking news.
I'm not down on any part of this coaching staff. So, I personally think the text is preposterous to be 2.5 games in, or in my text group that we ran a play, you know, snap it, hand it to the running back, just a little whatever, a little sweep or whatever you'd call it now, of course out of a shotgun set, and the thing gets blown up, you know, tackle misses block, blitz not picked up, whatever, -3. I get a text, what kind of a play call is that? First and 10 running play, crap. I mean, it's not about running. I mean, I've said this on here, and I said it back in, like, August. You get to know me here. The most BS line that comes out of all of us, okay? I don't say it, and so therefore I can take the high ground on this one. Bad play call. Hey, just because you got an EA Sports and you get to dial up some plays and some work, every time you throw a pick, I'm going to go, oh, what a – how about the thing just be your crappy execution? Okay? I mean, Leach had like 8 plays. Yeah, clip that. Clip it. Clip it, own it, put this on there. Telling you to clip it. Leach had like 8 plays. Some worked, some didn't. You know, what's one of Chuck's favorite things? The time that he was so pissed at Dana Holgorsen, he wanted to push him off the back of the stadium press box. Because of what? Because of bad play calls when he was here at Tech. Really? Just because the crap doesn't work, it doesn't mean it's a bad play call. It means it was poorly executed, right? It could be a perfect time to throw a curveball, but if I hang it and he hits it off the engineering building, it's not necessarily a bad play call, poorly executed.
And you could distill it down even further. It's just, this is an outcome that I don't like.
Yes. It doesn't have to be, our coach is an idiot. Stop. Don't do that. It's way too soon for that. I mean, way too soon.
I will say there are
years too soon.
There are instances where I think clearly you can say it's a bad play call, but those are like, hey, it's 3rd and 19. Let's run a quarterback sneak or something like that.
Yeah, 3rd and 19, they drop 8 into coverage. You have to throw it underneath. That's just how it works.
This and the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Let's see. Rodney Allison and Joe Barnes should be considered 2 for best quarterback to ever play at Tech. Sure. Yeah, I'm not. I mean, it's a you have a decent history there. I just choose to operate with the opinion that Graham Harrell is the best. This in the chat line. Mahomes was always running for his life. Made him great. Harrell had better O-lines. Made him a good coach. Yeah, I mean, you're right. There were hyenas and lions and tigers and bears in the backfield whenever Mahomes was playing. He just had, he was, there were venomous snakes, you know, there were wild birds of prey swooping down, trying to get him. He just had so much stacked against him at Tech. It's a miracle that they won 12 games when he was here.
Hey, we had a texter earlier that had mentioned, and I'm really noting two plays that would have changed this game. Or I wouldn't, I'll say would have changed, could have made this game look a lot different. One of them said Smith never throws any seam routes. But the first play of the game. But the first play of the game. You know, Donovan did have a dude right in his face. He was getting hit as he was going to get hit. He got a clean release on the thing. A little bit high of a throw. A play that, you know, the announcers immediately start calling it fungy. Like, that's straight Cleveland. But, and Cleveland, you know, we're all excited. Hey, that's a 30, 40-yard gain maybe, right down the seam, and they replay it and go, oh, yeah, and you can see it. Cleveland dumped it, you know. And so whether that's, you know, Donovan hits him in stride, I don't think it's 6 points if he hits him in stride. But
cause wasn't the safety a perfect throw, but I think Cleveland would probably
No doubt. And Coach McGuire, I think, addressed that today in his comments, or maybe Kittley did, but that was one play. And, no, there wasn't a ton of seam throws, and – you know, but again, I think a lot of that has to do with what's being given. But the pick six, a lot of times a pick six, like against Houston, you know, they had two guys run together. You know, Houston did, like, just a horrendous read, whatever, on their pick six. That pick six the other day, if it's read slightly differently, and this isn't a, you know, like the. If he and X are together and he sees Xavier and dumps it over the top, it's probably a touchdown. And instead, it's either an overthrow of the underneath route. We're not exactly sure what the disconnect was, but the key thing is on that play, they got a guy releasing over the top. We'll never know exactly what happened on it, but those are two plays that could be really, really, that could change the tone of that game in a hurry.
Raiders dad points this out too. I feel like if that first catch is made, the momentum is completely different all game. I think you're right. You wouldn't necessarily sort of touchdown, but right. It would have maybe quieted the crowd a little bit, right? But you didn't give them any reason to stop screaming their heads off for, I mean, heck, the first quarter and a half or whatever.
Yeah, and who knows what adjustment NC State comes back with right there that frees up some stuff in the running game. Who knows? But yeah, it's a big play. It would have been nice to make right out of the shoot.
On the chat line, just win one of the next three. 3-3 in these first six would be acceptable. I think if you're on track, you're on schedule if you get out of this first half with three wins. I wouldn't be like over the moon with it, but I would be content. Not that anyone cares what I think, which is fine. This on the chat line, you guys are overthinking things. All of our offensive line isn't strong enough, fast enough, or big enough to stop anyone. Things won't change until that is changed. This on the chat line. Shuck is just smarter. Ability to understand defenses is why he won. Not having that makes Tech worse, especially when you can't just line up and run it. Yeah, I mean, you definitely can't. Whoever's playing quarterback back there for Texas Tech this season, unless things dramatically improve up front, which hopefully they do, right. You do not have a bunch of extra time to process the information that you have to process before you make a decision, right? You need to do as much of that pre-snap as you can and then read the defense, go through your progressions quickly, and make a decision. You know, inexperience, and people will hate how much I use this word, but inexperience means that stuff takes time. It takes a longer amount of time to do it. I mean, think about whatever you do for your job, right? Whether you're an accountant, a plumber, a lawyer, a police officer, whatever, your first month on the job, you were not as efficient at whatever your role is or your task as you are now after X number of years, right? That's just the way that experience works. It's not that necessarily your job is, you know, harder or difficult or whatever. It's just a matter of routine, a matter of reps. I mean, like the first time that Weezer played Dope Nose, they probably were not nearly as good as it, right, as they are now.
Now it's a lot tighter.
There you go.
You've been listening to the Tech Talk podcast from Double T 97.3. Check out Double T 97.3.com for more from Lubbock Sports Station.